We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Overtime. It is post-debate morning. We probably all feel like we have a little bit of a hangover or something. It's Wednesday, the last day of September. It's the 30th, and we have Charlie Brennan with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Amy Markscores. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. I can't believe tomorrow's October.
I know. I keep seeing people say, like, well, on October 2nd, which even yesterday felt far away. I had to remind myself, oh my gosh, that's this week.
That's right.
October. Holy cow. Well, the first debate between President Trump and challenger Joe Biden. For those of you who haven't heard already, if you didn't tune in last night, it deteriorated very quickly. I think the first, 30, 40 seconds were pretty calm. And then it was just taunts, interruptions, chaos. Trump repeatedly interrupted Biden. I think Peter Mayer said they counted 73 interruptions, but it seemed like there might have been more.
I think there were more.
Yeah.
Who does the counting?
I know.
Has to be Mark Knoller. He counts those things, you know.
I know. You'd need a really quick finger on one of those little clicker things for the amount of interruptions. Many of the attacks were angry and personal, with some jabs overshadowing the difference that each man has for our nation facing many crises. Let's get a little audio here.
What am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are,
Wait.
But what am I?
I know you are, but what
Chris.
Am I?
That's the wrong audio, Chris. That's the wrong audio.
Sounds like last night.
You're the worst president America has ever had.
Hey,
come on.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
The question is, the radical left. Will you shut up, man?
Could we go back to the first audio? Because I like that better.
Yeah.
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
Honestly, I had to put up with an afternoon of my children bickering. So by the time I turned on the debate, I thought, really? 90 minutes of this? I lasted about 14 minutes, and I couldn't do it, even with the whiskey on the bedstand, as we discussed yesterday, Amy.
That's right. I know. I didn't even get to do my drinking game. It was so sad. I think the only thing that would have made it better is if, like, while they were bickering, Chris Wallace would have stood up and broken into a song, like one of those musicals, like, children, what do we do when we can't get along? And then he just breaks into song.
Or maybe he should have been drinking. That might have made it more interesting. All right, so Charlie, let me start with you, because people have been saying, well, who won the debate? It's hard to say. It's hard to say if there were any winners on this at all, except possibly ratings, but I have to imagine that they went down as the evening went on.
Yeah, you would think it was a disaster, and I apologize because yesterday I said it would be the best presidential debate, and it was truly the worst. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Biden just says, "I've done it. I don't need to debate again." And the president, I try and defend him when I think that if he hits a double or a triple or a home run, I try and give credit where credit is due, but last night, he just interrupted too many times, was too ad hominem, and all that and more. Plus, there was some really good economic news yesterday that because of all his insults he didn't even bring up, which he could have. So I honestly think it would be fair if Joe Biden said, you know, I think we've seen a contrast between the two candidates, and there's no need for me to be in debates number two and three. I think some people are blaming Chris Wallace today, but I don't know what the man could have done. As you know, Debbie, you know, you've been moderating things. The only thing you can possibly do is turn down the mic of the guy who keeps interrupting. And I think that would have been very fair last night if those who had operated the volume for the microphones just could have brought down the candidates when it wasn't their turn.
Right. And in Chris Wallace's defense, he does not control the microphone. So in the middle of debate, that wouldn't have been something. Plus, you know that either Trump or Biden's people would have complained if suddenly their mics were off and they hadn't agreed. So, I agree. Chris Wallace is getting a lot of criticism. But honestly, other than getting up on the stage and knocking someone over, I don't know what he could have done to stop it. So, Amy, any winners on your estimation?
Well, I first just have to add, it was so much worse than I thought it would be. It was profoundly worse. It was deeply disheartening, and I thought it was a disgrace and an embarrassment to America, our democratic institutions, and to the republic at whole. So if you want to pick a winner out of the mess that it was, it depends on what you mean by winner. Is it going to change any votes? I don't think so. I think primarily Joe Biden probably won, because I think his goal going into it was not to be great, but to just not commit many gaffes and let Trump do the gaffe making, which he absolutely did. And I would say there were two moments that stood out to me as deeply disturbing. And President Trump had an opportunity, a simple opportunity, to condemn white supremacy, and he didn't do it. And everybody loves him because they say, oh, you call everybody who loves him, I should say, he calls it like it is. He's not afraid. Well, here you have a silver platter where all you have to do is say, of course I condemn white supremacy. But he's so intractable, and in this case, pathologically defiant, that he couldn't even recognize the silver platter that was held up to him to put to rest accusations of sympathizing with white supremacists, and his ego wouldn't let him do it, so he told the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by, and that was a very bad moment for the president.
Did he mean to say everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing?
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call him? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right
wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what.
See,
somebody's got to do something.
That comment is really problematic. But he's supposed to say stand down. But he said stand by.
Yeah.
So,
Boys have made into an emblem already.
So that was a mistake. You know, and overall, I would have to say that Biden was the winner. Why? Because really what the president needed to do was to get suburban women. And I don't think there's any suburban women who said, yeah, that's the kind of guy I want to vote for. And I think that overall, people are going to say, do I want four more years of this?
Right.
You know, they could take four more years of the economy, because the economy prior to the pandemic was gangbusters. But the president didn't make that case in the debate last night. And it just seemed like, wow, do we want this fracas for four more years? However many merits the man may have in the eyes of some, that's a tall order.
Well, we have to take a break and check traffic and weather. But it is 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors. The state auditor, Nicole Galloway, had an audit the other day involving the St. Louis Police Department in public safety and overtime, and now she is out with her audit of St. Louis County government. St. Louis County gets a grade of poor. Among the findings, a lack of oversight from the county council and the county auditor. She also found that this lack of oversight allowed former county executive Steve Stanger to pay his staff from other departments' budgets and led to him eventually heading off to prison. Any surprises, Amy, in this report?
I don't think anything is surprising. It's certainly a damning report on how funds were spent, and under County Executive Steve Stenger, I think it also engenders more question with the reduced oversight we've seen under Sam Page and that whole kerfuffle that went down, particularly when the funding and assistance for COVID was in St. Louis County, and you had the St. Louis County Council agreeing to basically rescind its oversight of Sam Page. So that's interesting that we could kind of fall into that again, or would be open to that type of power by the county executive after what we saw with Steve Stenger.
Yeah, really what happened in those Stenger years is that there was a lot of money given to groups like the St. Louis County Economic Development Partnership and some of its subgroups. And it did have some oversight by a lay board, but they didn't do their jobs. They did not do their jobs. And so as a result, some of the people who headed up, like Sheila Sweeney, was able to give herself $200,000 in bonuses. Everyone was wondering, how is somebody working for St. Louis County making $500,000 a year? Well, it was all mismanaged. And what Nicole Galloway has pointed out, which is the huge elephant in the room, and this should end by noon today, there is an auditor in the county by the name of Mark Tucker who doesn't audit. Again, repeating our top story, there's an auditor who doesn't conduct audits. Come on, folks. What kind of a backward Duckburg is this where we kind of have this going on and we don't acknowledge it? So if he is still in that position at 12:01, everyone who's elected who oversees him should resign.
Okay, well, I must ask the question, what does Auditor Mark Tucker do if he doesn't audit?
Great question, Debbie. You get the medal. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, and you know what? St. Louis County used to be really well run. It was one of the best in the country. And now it has slipped so far. And I don't blame the county council, by the way, because these things change. It was mostly under Steve Stenger, who's now, you know, getting his breakfast at the Gray Bar Motel. So, and he deserves that. But it's time to really make some changes now.
I was just Googling Duckburg.
Is there a place called Duckburg? Like Duckburg, Pennsylvania or something?
Howard the Duck lived there, remember?
Oh, no. I honestly have never seen that movie.
I just got Donald Duck's fictional universe, where he lives with Daisy Duck, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Very interesting. All right. Well, one more quick one here before we have to go to a break, and this may or may not be quick, but there were 9 protesters who were charged with trespassing following the confrontation with Mark and Patricia McCloskey as they marched off to the mayor's house. The 9 got police summonses, and the couple is charged with unlawful use of a weapon or weapons for pointing guns at them. But the 9 protesters, this is really an interesting case. So the protesters are charged with trespassing. The St. Louis couple, I guess, who's being charged? I don't know. What your thoughts on this, Charlie?
Well, the McCloskeys, there are still charges against them, and they should be dropped. You know, as the charges against the protesters were rightfully dropped. Although the funny thing is, they were charged just like 2-3 weeks ago. But there's a new sheriff in town, a new county council or city councilor, and he's just said, "This is ridiculous. Come on, let's move on. We have bigger fish to fry in St. Louis." It was a good move by him.
I agree. The charges all around should have been dropped in this case. And when we cannot move on from this too quickly enough.
All right. Well, we have to move on because we will be back with round 3 of OT. And I will ask the question of how much candy you have been eating lately. It's 8:47. It is going on 8:52. It's round 3 of OT. Amy Marks scores. Charlie Brennan. I'm Debbie Monterey. Since it's almost October, let's talk about Halloween, even though a lot of stores have all the Christmas stuff up already. I don't know what's going to happen with Halloween, but people have been putting all the Halloween decorations up. My neighborhood's looking crazy. There's like a 2-story skeleton in somebody's yard. It's quite something. Will we trick-or-treat or won't we? I know not. But Americans aren't sure either, but they're still buying a ton of candy. U.S. sales of Halloween candy up 13% over last year. In the month ending September 6th, And so we haven't even gotten into October yet. This is according to market research firm IRI and the National Confectioners Association. It's a bigger jump than the usual single-digit increases. Sales of Halloween chocolate alone are up 25%. Amy, are you buying Halloween candy for yourself?
Yes, two reasons. One, we are, as a whole, catastrophically stressed right now, so we need some candy. But I like how they're like, we don't know if Halloween's going to happen. This would be like if you had an annual water balloon fight in your neighborhood, right? And everyone said, well, this year, we're probably not going to have an annual water balloon fight. We don't think families are going to do it. In other news, record numbers of water balloons have been sold, and I think you have your answer. So I think there will be Halloween. People will socially distance and also stress eating.
That's interesting. I think a friend of mine actually works for Tootsie Roll in Chicago, and he said that there's a lot of events this year that didn't happen, I guess like birthday parties and other things where candy is sold a lot, so it has made a big difference there. I'm among those who just believe Halloween is an easily doable holiday.
Sure.
You just put the candy on a folded card table in your front yard, stay 6 feet away, watch the kids come by and grab one, maybe forget the jokes this year or do them at a distance. The one holiday I'm concerned about, and I guess the CDC is now saying that we should socially distance for Thanksgiving and see Grandma on Zoom, and that really breaks my heart.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be really sad. So to keep it lighter again for Halloween, here's my costume this year. You know Daniel Stern in Home Alone?
Yes.
After he gets beaten up, particularly, I think it's Home Alone 2, when he gets electrocuted and he shows up, you know, and his hair is all crazy. I'm going to get that costume as Daniel Stern from Home Alone and go as Chris Wallace.
Oh, poor Chris Wallace.
I know, I feel so bad.
Hey, well, before we have to go, speaking of Thanksgiving and the concern about bringing the Rona to your family for the holidays, Google Maps is putting out a new feature this week showing COVID-19 hotspot data on your smartphone. So now, I guess when you get in the car and your phone tries to tell you, this is how long it'll take you to get home, it'll also point out hotspots for coronavirus so you can avoid them. Is that a good idea or a bad idea, Charlie?
Not sure how they'll do it because all the information will be old, right? I mean, it's all based on contact tracing, I'm guessing, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
I'm not sure I buy that because, okay, you have to be tested. That's one thing to determine if there's a hotspot. And then by the time that information gets out there, you know, people may be there or they might not be there.
I guess I'm going to treat this feature the same way I treat heart rate monitors and gas prices. I don't want to know because I have to do these things anyway. So I just don't want to add more fear to my life. So I don't want to know the heart rate monitor. I don't want to know how much gas costs. I got to buy gas anyway. You could tell me it's $1 billion. I'm like, well, got to fill up.
Well, honestly, though, if I was heading someplace and say I pull in the parking lot and it says this place is a COVID-19 hotspot, I might be like, I don't know if I really need to go in there.
But I told you to stop going to those bars anyway, Debbie.
Yeah, I don't have bar hours. I'll be really honest with you. But, you know, that candy story made me think of my mother because my entire life, she loves Butterfingers. That's her favorite. And my entire life, she would buy a bag of Butterfingers at the beginning of October and say it was for Halloween. And then she would just hide them somewhere and they would never make it to Halloween. So
smart woman. And I don't know why. Why is the fun size always the really small size? The fun size
that's
would be
not fun.
Big candy bar. Right. I don't understand.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe this might be the year to do the full size candy bars and just really make kids happy this year.
Overhand, hurl them out the door.
Yes, really. Throw them down through the second floor window through some sort of a tube. Just an idea. Here's what's on tap.
Hey, we're going to talk to Ambassador Kevin O'Malley and John Lamping about last night's debate. We'll also take your phone calls. Mike Shannon joins us. And so will a guy whose star is on the St. Louis Walk of Fame, Ridley Pearson.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.